to hide. No place to run, no place to run. Revolution A has now begun.
Welcome one and all, once again, to Nerds on the Rocks, episode 172.
And this Sam!
And Sam! Okay, so apparently Sam is here this week.
Nah. News to me. About like 2 minutes in.
We have Justin.
Who?
We have Dan.
Hi.
And we have Sean.
Oh, hi there.
This week, I guess it was fitting that we have a full house because we're talking about X-Men, and if you want to talk about crowded movies, we'll get to that with X-Men 3. But with the reason of... Are we going to do anything this week?
Well, there's an elephant in their room, seriously.
Okay. So, yes, with the release of X-Men Days of Future Past in movies this week, I figured it'd be a good time to look back on the original X-Men films. I think we're going to focus mainly on the actual X-Men films, so not stuff like X-Men Origins Wolverine or
that was my favorite.
I'm sure there's somebody out there who's going to say it's their favorite film.
They're tragically wrong.
I don't think so. I don't think anybody's going to stand up for that one.
I mean, people still like Spider-Man 3, so anything's possible.
Exactly.
I mean, Spider-Man 3 was better than the Wolverine.
It was.
Sorry, X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right, titles are...
I'm going to say someone's about to die.
Murder on a podcast. But yes.
Murder on rocks?
I still think that it's better than...
You said birds on the rocks? That's beautiful. Go on.
Okay. Are we here now? I guess we'll kick it off with the film that's kind of credited for the superhero comic book revival in cinema.
Spider-Man?
No, X-Men.
Yeah, welcome to this week's X-Men podcast. We're going to talk about Spider-Man.
He's not wrong, though. I think Spider-Man... Well, which came first?
X-Men came first. Spider-Man is tended to...
Spider-Man was the bigger movie?
Spider-Man is more successful, but X-Men was kind of the thing that revived it. Okay. And even aesthetically, you still kind of get the toned down looks and stuff like that.
Fittingly, let's talk first about the one that I haven't seen in 15 years.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's only 14 years old, so...
You know. Fine, okay, whatever. The one that came out a long time ago.
That's how these things tend to happen. The oldest one comes out first.
Nah.
I believe I own it on VHS.
Yeah,
I
just watched too.
But that is old school.
Yeah. I just watched the first trailer for it recently. The thing looks bad.
Well, it's a very turn of the century type trailer. I believe that has like a narrator who's telling you all about the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
And
there is a secret, like, race of humans who can do things that no one else can. Fear the few, hate the rest, or something like that.
Hey, but at least it was in the age before trailers went.
Oh my gosh!
And we're just like that.
With the new movie, like, it's coming out on Friday, and I think I could watch all the trailers and probably relatively put it in chronological order. I think I'm only missing 20 minutes of the film.
Yeah, did y'all ever see? I think everybody saw this for a while, but for The Amazing Spider-Man, the guy that cut together the entire plot of the movie using the trailers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can go back and watch like a 25-minute cut of a guy that put together every single plot point of The Amazing Spider-Man a week before the movie came out.
Yep, and he was right about all of them.
And he was right about all of it.
Amazing Spider-Man 2, I haven't seen, but wasn't much better.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of, I guess since to go back on topic, that actually reminds me of X-Men 3, where they put out the first, I want to say 20 minutes of the film before it came out online.
Did they do that?
I think I still have it on my computer.
Well, was it like 20 minutes? Because I thought it was only like 5 or 10.
It's like 10 or 5, something like that, but it's an exorbitant amount of... Because it was kind of trending downwards. So they were like, we're going to have to get people back on our side, so we'll show them like the good parts of this movie.
Yeah, I guess the best part of the movie.
So you mean like the only worthwhile parts?
So basically, they didn't show you the movie.
Okay.
They left out the dude with angel wings.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll get to that in a second.
Ben Foster? I was really pumped that Ben Foster was in it, but he...
Yeah. I think that movie kind of killed his career for a few years.
Mm. Yeah. But X-Men, the original X-Men film, came out in 2000.
Yep.
And had a relative... It kind of had this the Superman kind of cast in. We had a bunch of unknowns at the time, and then you had some big name actors in. I don't want to, like, they were main characters, but Magneto and Professor X are weird in that they're main characters, but it's about them, but it's usually about the people around them and their.
But it's really about Wolverine.
Yeah, I was just gonna say it's about them, but it's actually about Wolverine.
Well, it's like anyone who wasn't Charles or Magneto or Mystique or Wolverine had nothing to do.
Yeah, that pretty much is going to explain the first three movies.
Who played the first again?
Rebecca Romijn Stamos.
Oh, I thought it was... No, Holly Berry was Storm. That's right. Okay,
yeah. Go on. A very interesting Storm, the fact that her accent seemed to disappear as the movement.
Oh, yeah, she had an accent. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, she attempted an accent in the first movie, and I think somebody told her not to in the second.
Hey, that thing you're doing?
That's like...
Don't.
Oh, go on. Yeah. Like, I learned today, I think, that you can go watch X-Men Days of... No, this is Days of Future Past. Whatever one. First Class. There we go. And First Class, Fassbender's accent slips into Irish during...
Yeah. 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 It's really noticeable during the end when he's like, I've been at the mercy of men just following orders.
Before it was all German. Like, I've been at the mercy... I have been at the mercy... I can't do accents. Never mind. Just ignore that.
Yeah, those are both pretty good.
Oof.
Apologies to all Irish people.
Uh-huh. And Germans.
Nah.
It's a little backwards. Shouldn't it be the other way around?
But anyway.
So actors in the Wolverine movie.
But yes, going back to the, going to the German connection, we actually do start off in Germany with, because big part of Magneto's backstory is that he's a Nazi camp survivor. And he, at first, especially in the first movie, he always kind of shows off his number tattoo, which I guess I shouldn't say is a tattoo. It's not his decision to get.
It's, what do they call it? His registration number, right?
It's still a tattoo, though, right?
I mean, it's tattooed onto your skin.
Terminology for that, yeah. I was looking up Hugh Jackman's career. Let this be a grim reminder that he was in movie 43.
Yeah, let's not.
On his chin.
God damn it.
Yeah, let's just not, just in general, about that.
I was trying to see if he did anything before X-Men. That anyone was known from.
Wasn't he in, Caden Leopold? Wasn't that the movie?
The answer is no.
Oh, my God.
Jeez, he really wasn't in anything before X-Men.
Yeah, not at all.
Was he not in Kay Leopold, or did that come after?
I can't see anything that says that before there.
It's
so.
After.
That was after.
Yeah, 2001.
No, I think he credits X-Men with his career, which is probably the reason he's been Wolverine. I want to say seven times
the reason
now.
He still
eight?
Does it.
It's coming up on seven, if you're counting First Class.
Yeah. it's a beautiful cameo.
Yeah,
yes,
the best cameo by
far. Yeah, probably the best moment of that movie. It was a good movie.
Yeah,
but that's a single moment.
I want when in Future Past when he sees them both, it's like I want Eric and Charles to be like, isn't this the guy who told us? Right. I remember this guy. He totally told us to go piss off.
So are we gonna get to how Professor X is supposed to be back alive at some point, or is that a conversation that's gonna come up later? Because that
spoiler
really
alert, man.
Well, no, that's not a spoiler. That's a...
I'm kidding.
I was going to say, wait a minute. Is that not the trailer?
I mean, it's the whole point of the movie. But yeah, I was trying to figure it out as well. There's a couple of things from X-Men. I assume what they went is like they had X-Men 3 and they're like, okay, we're just going to ignore this movie ever happened.
My internet's being choppy again.
Yes.
I was going to say, I assume when they did X-Men Days of Future Past, it just went X-Men 3 never happened and continued from there.
That, or if it did happen, they're just going to be like, anything that did happen in it, we're going to retcon right now.
Yeah. My girlfriend was very angry about that. She's like, he died, he's not supposed to be in a movie. And I guess I kind of... Actually, I muted my mic in the middle of that. Quick fun fact, the enter button will mute your mic. Anyway, yeah, she was very mad about that and saying that you can't just pretend that a movie doesn't count because it sucked.
Yeah, you can.
Didn't they do that with the third Ninja Turtles movie?
That's how I got through Spider-Man 3 for the past 7 years.
Yeah, they did that with the third Ninja Turtles movie. They did that with the third and fourth Superman movie.
They do that with G.I. Joe.
Wait, how'd they do it with the third Ninja Turtles movie? I thought if it's a reboot, then you can't... Are those universes canon?
Yeah, TMNT's in the same universe as...
Turtleverse, thank you very much.
Really? That's interesting. I did not know that.
They kind of hint at it with, especially at the end of TMNT when they kind of go through, you see like the Super Show, the thing, and then you see like the ooze from Turtles 2. Hmm. I mean, granted, they have the time staff from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, but it doesn't count it as canon, which doesn't need to be this discussion.
But do you think they're not going to count it as canon? Because I figured, well, I mean, for the X-Men movies, because I figured it was all universe stuff, and from what I hear,
they don't explain it at all. So it's kind of one of those things where it's kind of one of those things where it's like just take it at face value and just go with it.
But
I'm more confused about it, and I assume they do explain it, is why he walked in the film.
And then in the movie poster, he's got that little super jetpack thingy.
Yeah, his little fart chair.
I'm telling you, Ultimate Universe, probably.
Well, I mean, I assume that's what the Days of Future Past is. It's going directly.
Well, that's the thing that I don't get, though, because the bullet just hit him in the spine, and apparently he can't use his powers while he walks, so I guess, like, removing the bullet also, like...
Did you get all this from the trailer?
They mentioned it in a clip. They're in a plane, and he's just like, after I, like, got my legs back, I...
Hey, hold on, stop. I don't want anything ruined about me for this next movie. I intentionally avoid, like, preview coverage. Right. Spoilers.
Okay.
Calling it.
But back to X-Men 1, I guess.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I just watched that like 2 hours ago, so let's go.
Okay.
I haven't seen it since it came out, but I remember it pretty well, actually.
Yeah, I did not, which is why I watched it today to prep for the podcast. And it was a thing that happened in my life. I'm not really sure.
It's not bad. It still kind of holds up, I think.
It was, well, like Earl said about it kind of kickstarting the superhero movies, it definitely suffers from being, like, super campy at some points. Yeah. And, like, super corny and, like, almost tongue-in-cheek about things and, like, not embracing cinematic tropes and stuff and still being with the sort of, like, we're from the comic book universe. Look at us. Ha, ha, ha. We're not serious.
I think the thing that's...
What happens when it's struck by lightning?
Yeah, that's true. But that one scene near the beginning where, like, they're all assembled in, like, the office, and he's just, like... And Logan's just, like, naming their names, but, like, he can totally accept that he's called Wolverine, but he can't, like, handle, like, Cyclops or Storm.
Yeah, I made a tweet about that exact same thing. I was live-tweeting
where I got that from.
Like, for the first half of the movie, I was live-tweeting all the weird, campy bits about it, and it's like...
Can you live-tweet a movie that you're just watching for fun? Is that how that works? I tried to live-tweet movies that were, like, coming out for everybody.
I don't know.
All right. Anyway, go on. Get used to it. That's how my brain works. That's how this podcast has worked for the past, like, since I've been on it.
All right, but you're being, like, really passive-aggressive about something.
No, I didn't mean to be passive-aggressive. It's just how my brain works. I need answers when I think of things.
Okay, anyhow, X-Men. Yeah, the thing that works in this film, and I think they kind of go away with it in later films, is it does focus on a very small number of X-Men. This movie's mostly focused on Storm, Jean, Cyclops, Wolverine, Professor X, and I think that's it for the first film. And
just Wolverine, Professor X, and Rogue.
And Magneto.
It's kind of stupid in the climax because because of special effects budgets, none of them can fly. So
they all just literally walk around.
Yeah, at the climax, there's like two characters who can fly because they're trying to get to the top of this tower, and like Cyclops can't shoot because it's spinning too fast, and Storm's gonna shoot like Wolverine up, and I'm like. Yeah, Storm can fly. Jean can fly.
Weird thing is, why didn't Jean just, like, stop the machine? That way Cyclops could get a clear shot.
I have no idea.
Yeah, Jean, it was a bit of a confusing scene, honestly, too, when I was watching it. I was thinking that exact same thing.
You know, it's like, as a kid, you think it's, like, semi-cool, but then, like, when you're looking at it, it's like, what?
Yeah, that's what I don't like about a lot of movies, especially with X-Men, is in order to get a good fight scene, you have to nerf characters' powers at some point. like, really for any superhero movie where the character has a healing power, but for especially Wolverine things, you have to get Metroided. At some point in the movie, it has to happen to where they take away his healing power or they render him useless.
It's pretty easy, though, in X-Men, because in the first movie, at least, they do this quite a bit. Every time Magneto and Wolverine are together, Magneto's just like, hey, your entire body's metal, so you can't do anything
so
when I'm near you.
Worthless.
But they continue doing that in X-Men 3 as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but they only do it, like, really two times. They don't do it, like, in the entire film like they did with X-Men 1.
Yeah, they do it for, like, two or three fight scenes.
They also did it at the end of The Wolverine, right?
Kind of.
As he's walking through the airport? Or did he have bone claws at the end of the Wolverine?
He had bone claws, but apparently he was able to paralyze him for a little bit, which makes no sense.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Yeah. But yeah, I was watching that, and I was going to say, Jean gets the short end of the stick in these films. I guess that they wanted to nerf her, but she doesn't use...
I think she's not the only one who gets the short end.
No, yeah. But I mean in general, because out of the movie like this, and then in the second one, she doesn't want to use her powers that much because she's having nightmares. And like I said about the third movie, the better. So yeah, Cyclops gets his powers. I mean, Cyclops has his laser beams, and that's pretty much it.
Right.
I'm sure somebody's gonna.
This is a thing that's always kind of bothered me about Cyclops. Why aren't they, like, sort of, like, somehow sealed to his face? That way no one can just take him off.
Yeah.
I swear that would make things so much easier.
Right? Just drill in two little catch plates into his head and have them lock into place whenever he needs to, you know, fight stuff, which is most of the time when you're an X-Men.
It's probably uncomfortable or something.
You know what would be funny, though, is if they did that, Magneto would still be able to take him off.
That's true. Plastic things. Fine. Gosh.
They didn't know about Magneto at the start of X, which I find, that's one of the things I find weird. It's like, one is the ages, because I guess just because they wanted cool cameos, but like, they show like Storm and Cyclops in X-Men, I think X-Men First Class, and they were kids, mm-hmm. So they would have been, that was what, 64, 65, and this film takes place in 2000, so they should have been something like 60 in this film? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's no, like, when I was going back and watching First Class, they have Alex Summers, or mm-hmm. Havoc, and it's like, Havoc is like 20-ish in that movie, and then Cyclops is like 30-ish in, like, according to X-Men 1, the not-so-distant future, so like 2010, basically.
Yeah. So yeah, they have their parents kind of got bored, and they're like, okay, it's been 30 years, just get a new kid.
It's like, didn't we
slower than everybody else. Done.
Like, didn't we have a son? No, he's dead now.
Well, you see, they can't even
It's only been like, no, he's gone. It's only been 30 years. No.
That's what I'm saying. They can't even say that because they mentioned specifically that certain X-Men age show it and others. Mystique ages show and Wolverine ages show it.
Mystique age is disturbingly slow after you watch First Class. It puts... it into perspective.
Yeah, but like at the same time, she doesn't, because she's like 4 at the beginning of X-Men First Class when Charles is also like 8, and then.
But I mean,
the
she also
at
this age,
movie.
She's Mystique, so that's kind of a dumb argument.
No, but
it's
like an inconsistent aging process. Basically.
Oh, gotcha.
She goes from like a really young kid to being like 20 when Charles ages at the same rate as her, and then in the current X-Men movies, she's like much younger than
like a cougar.
Yeah, right. It's weird.
So what I think is funny about what they said about Mystique was that, oh, after Wolverine's gone, Mystique can carry the X-Men movies. I'm like, yeah, okay, of course Fox is going to come out and say Oscar award-winning Jennifer Lawrence is going to be the star of our next two X-Men movies. Like, yeah, I'm sure she'll want to stick around for another 3 or 4 films. That was a very funny...
I mean, the Hunger Games are ending, like, after next year, so it's not like she has anything else.
American Hustle and things like that. I think she's a bit beyond the X-Men movies. They sort of locked her into that before she got famous.
Well, I mean, would you say that Captain Picard is above the X-Men movies now?
Is what?
Would you say Patrick Stewart is above the X-Men movies, given his past history?
I mean, you could say the same thing about Ian McKellen. He was in Lord of the Rings. But it was at the same time-ish, so... Although I guess Captain Picard was roughly the same time period.
Fair enough.
Well, I was about to say they also are very.
He also hasn't been in an X-Men movie in a while, so.
Which one?
Sure.
They were both in the Wolverine as a cameo, but.
Yeah, I mean, they missed it on, like, 2 movies.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, I'm completely lost, so.
The first film has a weird shot with them trying to turn people into mutants. I don't get it.
The first film is weird when you look at it after First Class. Pretty much most of the first movie is weird after First Class because there's so many inconsistencies in the plot
right.
and, the characterizations too.
Right. It's like, okay, Mystique is a super deadly assassin, but she also like had Charles's blessing to go leave with Magneto.
Basically.
And so now she's
like,
following him.
Yeah, and she's like Magneto's toy, basically, because she's always like, hugging him.
Magneto. Well, I mean, I think that's kind of consistent, where it's like they're either dating or they're just like.
I'm sorry, getting
weird.
Boned by Magneto. Or maybe boning Magneto. Mystique probably has that ability.
To get boned?
If you gotta, yeah, if you wanna get freaky with it.
If you wanna call that an ability.
The thing I don't get is, like, it doesn't, like, I mean, I guess because they don't share screen time much, it doesn't seem like Mystique and Charles know each other in the original trilogy.
That's also true. I don't even think they meet once.
Well, they have to. They meet. No, wait.
Wait, meet
once
at what point?
They probably don't meet then. Huh. I mean, but she's in the X-Mansion at one point. In the first film.
Yeah, you'd think that they would see each other.
Yeah. I guess it makes sense then. That it's never a relationship that was determined on screen. So I guess that's not it's just weird that he's never asked about his good friend Mystique when he saw Eric again. Ever.
Yeah. Like, hey, how's my sister? Oh, you know, she's fine. She's like kidnapping dudes and stuff. It's this whole thing.
I still think it's weird that they decided to bring back old characters in the X-Men movies and First Class and things. Like, I thought the whole point of the reboot was to make separate universes.
Well, I think it was a reboot, but they realized that they have all these great casts. And I think what they're going to do, and I could be mistaken, is they're going to do this film, they're going to do the sequel, and then I think what they're going to start doing is probably alternating with a past X-Men team and the current date.
That's what it sounds like, because apparently in the next film, X-Men Apocalypse, they're doing Storm, Jean, and Cyclops, but younger versions.
Yeah.
Cool.
So it sounds, I mean, if honestly speaking, it's a great way to reboot a franchise by rebooting it within the franchise. And if you want to have multiple versions of these, you know, like if you want to have the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it makes sense to kind of have two concurrent universes that you can alternate years.
Do you think they bring these characters back after X-Men Days of Future Past? I kind of figured this was like the last outing.
I feel like this cast might retire, but it's going to be like, oh, we changed history, so they exist, but they exist in a different form, so we can get in younger people who can carry the brand 10 years now.
Okay. Oh, X-Men's complicated.
Yeah.
Yes,
pretty
it
much.
Is. It's why...
I think that's the one thing it carries over from the comics.
Yeah, I was just saying, even in the comics, it's so complicated that it's pretty much separate from the Marvel Universe, and that X-Men, because there's so many characters, because there's so many mutants and enemies, that they kind of stick to themselves and they only cross over very rarely. Because when you think about it, X-Men make no sense in the Marvel Universe. Like, why are mutants different than superheroes?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Right.
I thought that was
kind of
funny.
It's like, I read Avengers versus X-Men again recently. I had no idea who half the people in the X-Men were.
Yeah,
well, it's like there are just so many of them and the storyline is just so cluttered with mutants.
And most people...
You don't like Sparkle? Who's Sparkle?
You mean Dazzler?
Dazzler, there we go.
But most people differentiate the Marvel Universe into like a subsection. Like, people say, are you a DC or a Marvel fan? And if you're a Marvel fan, are you an Avengers fan or an X-Men fan?
Right. It's like, are you Spider-Man? Are you Thor?
Yeah, for a while there, I was only reading the X-Men comics because it is self-contained. And it's like, usually if it has an event, it's just X-Men stories. But then they cross over to the Marvel Universe like with Avengers versus X-Men and stuff like that. But... Yeah, and the thing is, I guess X-Men 3 did a better job. I don't know if that's necessarily the case with highlighting a lot more mutants, even though a lot of them just kind of were there for to show that the cure
fodder.
Yeah, they showed that the cure worked.
Thought before we get too far away, I thought Wolverine was a member of the Avengers like most of the time.
Oh, he is.
No,
well,
no,
he is, but he was taken off recently.
Well,
okay,
say,
but.
He's more
but
of an
for
X-Men.
A long time, he was.
Yeah, he joined, and he's like from two.
So then the universes aren't that separate.
Kind of.
Yeah,
it's
kind
weird.
Of,
from 2007 to 2013-ish, he was an Avenger.
Okay.
Yeah, but even when he was an Avenger, he was an Avenger. He wasn't like an Avenger and an X-Men. It's weird. It's kind of the same thing with Spider-Man. With Spider-Man, Spider-Man, but he's also in the Avengers. And at, for sometimes he's also on Fantastic Four. Which
yeah, that's a funny thing, too.
Yeah, I think Wolverine was like in Fantastic Four, too.
Yeah, the Fantastic Four expanded at a point, and they had a bunch of people.
Is it like players on a football team? Like, once you get traded, you can't go back till you get traded back?
Kind of.
Well, I mean, sometimes they'll make note of the fact that there are multiple teams. I mean, if you're a popular character, you tend to be around. Like, Batman's on Justice League, Batman's on Outsiders, Batman has his own team. Right. So, yeah.
I mean, to be fair, at this point, anybody can be an Avenger. I'm pretty sure, like, if you just show up at the front door and just like, hey, can I be in the Avengers for a day? They'll let you be there for like 6 months.
Oh, yeah, there's enough Avengers now for that. I mean, there's, what, Avengers, Avengers World, Mighty Avengers, New Avengers. Yeah, Secret Avengers, Dark Avengers. Yeah. But go back to
this conversation makes me glad that I don't read comics.
It's hard.
It's work keeping up with all
that. I read the quote-unquote, like, small-tier stuff.
Yeah, same. If you follow, like, one series, then you're kind of good.
Yeah, it's always difficult to recommend people get into comics when you have to explain stuff like this.
It's like, where do I start? Well, do you have, a couple hours?
Yeah, that's the hardest part about getting into comics is starting. After that, it's kind of easy to keep up.
I've read, like, the popular ones. Like, I've read Killing Joke, and I read the X-Men series that Joss Whedon wrote, and I read Watchmen, and I feel like I'm good.
Well, you're not good, but it's a good start. Yes, getting back to X-Men, I guess jumping over to X-2.
X-3. Okay, X-2.
We're not going to jump to X-3 too much. X-2, masterpiece, classic, fantastical, beautiful.
Can we just talk about X-2 as though it is X-2, the Wolverine, Part 1?
X-2, Wolverine, Part 1. Yes, a lot of these movies deal with... The first two films, they were Wolverine's origins, which I...
But it's really Wolverine Part 2, for going to go by that.
Yeah, I guess so.
Wolverine Part 2, Wolverine in Canada.
Love to see a supercut of Wolverine's footage in all the movies, just to be one giant Wolverine movie.
Yeah, like 2 hours long.
It'd be more than 2 hours long. He's got 4 hours of his own movies.
The funny thing is that... He's like his part of his plot in the first movie is that he's kind of a bigger brother to Rogue when she's on her own, and that's pretty much dropped in the second one. She like screens twice, and then she's a background figure. So it's like we have to focus on Wolverine. You know what I needed here. Right.
It's like he sees her once at the Mansion next to, and then like that basically just doesn't get resolved.
Yeah, and then the backup
the one with Magneto in the big old like plastic prison.
Yes.
Okay,
that's
cool.
That's
a cool scene. I like that scene.
It's a great scene. When he's ripping the balls out from the dude's skin. Yeah.
It didn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, oh, I've been secretly feeding you a lot of iron in your diet.
That. It was just that he had a lot of iron that day.
Yeah, well, he was injected with a lot of iron.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because he did get a lot of iron, like the vitamin. No.
Okay.
No, like Mystique basically like roofied him and then just like injected iron into his butt.
I say basically when she did roofie him. I mean, there's no subtle hint.
I mean, okay, yes, she roofied him. Okay,
but I can't imagine Mystique has a hard time getting people to, you know.
I mean, now when she looks like that.
She didn't. And that's the part. It's like she roofied him in the bathroom, so he was away from everybody else.
Right, and then, it's so weird.
Go on.
Aside from roofing people, this film actually has other things going on.
Jesus Christ.
So I have a question, actually, because I don't really know much of the casting for Days of Future Past. I haven't really been following it that much, but is, I guess, Stryker's in it, or one of the Stryker members?
Yeah, he's played by a younger dude.
Is it the same Stryker from X2, then?
I think so. And apparently, it's also the same one from that other movie, the less good one.
The Wolverine?
Yeah. Origins.
Okay, I haven't seen the Origins. It's the only one I haven't seen, so.
So how old is Stryker if he's in Days of Future Past, he's in Origins, and he's in X2?
I guess he's supposed to be, like, 60 in X2, and then, like, 30... I don't know.
He could probably pass for 50 in X2, honestly, but no more than that.
Oh, I'm just spitballing here. I think he's supposed to be like 60 in X2, like at least in his 40s, maybe in Origin, and then like maybe like early 30s in Future Past.
It's weird. Okay. Future Past takes place in like Nixon era stuff.
Look, dude. Okay.
Takes place in this. Like, I don't think we're gonna resolve the X-Men timeline tonight. I don't think they're gonna resolve it, which is why they're rebooting it again, so they can probably get this stuff more in line with everything. But yeah, X2. The center plot of it is kind of a Wolverine story, as it focuses on Stryker, who's upset at Professor X for not curing his son because mutation is a disease. I don't think anybody's ever made a clear point why they hate mutation other than these people can do stuff we can't.
Well, no, because his son like cause his wife to like kill herself or something? I think that's what happened.
Yeah, but this is after
you watch the news, you know easily how just anything that's at all different can be portrayed as super scary and something we have to get rid of. Just look at modern media.
Just
that happens
Justin.
All the time with
Wait, what?
You're super different. We have to get rid of you.
Oh, I thought you meant Justin Bieber.
Jesus, dude.
I mean, you are.
Anyway, that's my point, is I easily see how something like that happens. Oh, no, they're different. We have to be scared. Let's get rid of them.
Yeah, but not to the extreme that it is in the X-Series. I was commenting also earlier about how the politician, the senator from X1, who gets turned into a mutant halfway through it, and then ends up dying, spoiler alert, to a 14-year-old movie. Like, the senator comes out of a car, and there's a huge, like, rally of people, and they're all holding up signs like, "We love you!" And you can hear them say that, and it's like, what kind of weird world is this where politicians are, like, have screaming fangirls, basically?
Yeah, like, so basically advocate... Basically
you looked at Russia recently?
This is America. Like, it's New York.
Putin gets splashed by random girls all the time.
It's the oh god! It's like I feel like that should be the last place where you would want to like openly like have fans for genocide.
Pretty much, but it's like I can understand if they're fans of his choices and whatnot, and if they're rallying for that. But they're literally you can hear them saying in the crowd like "We love you," and it's like what? He's not a rock star. He's a politician.
Also, and I could be wrong. It doesn't sound like the mutants did anything wrong in X1, really. It seemed like they were just, like, living.
Well, in the events of X1, they didn't do anything really wrong, and it doesn't really talk about in the past if anything happened, like if there were big travesties or events or whatnot that made them hate it or something like that.
But, yeah, I mean, even like, after the events of X-Men First Class, I can understand. But technically speaking, the mutants don't do anything. Well, I guess they do kind of do something bad in that film. Even though it's kind of weird because they do avert it as well, so it's not like it happened. It almost happened for the mutants.
Yeah, like in the events of First Class, they essentially prevent World War III from happening. That was basically the main plot and climax of First Class.
Right.
But weren't mutants causing World War III to happen in extra First Class? Like you were trying to team of super mutants to.
That is true. Without the mutants there, World War III wouldn't have been incited. But,
because for some reason, a small handful of mutants can control like all of the world once the militaries have been decimated, but...
Well, I mean, they had a pretty good lineup of mutants for, like, how it would be caused. They had Azazel to, like, pop people here and there.
I mean, it's a solid plan, but there's also, like, some holes.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So is Magneto a good guy again in this next movie?
In this one?
In Days of Future Past.
It's kind of, I guess, anti-hero, because, like, okay. He went to...
That's my favorite Magneto. It's anti-hero Magneto.
Because this is... kind of a small story, but basically he killed FK.
Okay.
So he's in prison, basically, like, in, I think it's the Pentagon.
Can we actually, like, talk about First Class now? Because I kind of have an interesting point.
Hold on, can we bring up Deadpool first before we get there?
No, we're not talking about that
movie. No.
But, like, in First Class, I recently watched it because I was a little fuzzy on certain events, and also because it's just probably the best of the X-Men movies, at least my favorite, for sure. And I noticed that at the very end of First Class, Magneto or Eric, whatever you want to actually call him, went, like, really hard towards the bad side. And I didn't kind of realize that my first time watching, that he... Like, I thought when I first watched it that it was a little bit more subtle, but no, he pretty much went full on East
First
Class.
Yeah. It's just straight up, like, catches the bombs in the air. Not at that point.
Yeah, it's like, he could have, like, just, because basically his whole thing was, like, to kill Shaw, and then he could have just, like, dropped him in the water, but no, he was just, like, young and bad.
Basically, he basically killed Shaw and then was like, wait, no, Shaw was actually right. I hated him, that's why I killed him, but he was basically right.
Yeah, well, I meant to mention
Deadpool's still alive in the X-Men.
Oh, shut up.
We are not talking
He's
about
still
that.
Still alive.
I do like that scene in First Class where it's like he puts the quarter through Kevin Bacon's head and it like transitions between him and James McLemore like screaming.
James McLemore.
Yep, my favorite. But yeah, that was a cool scene. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was an okay. It was gross actually, but
no, I mean like, it was a cool like juxtaposition.
It was a cool transition when you realize that Charles was holding back Shaw, so he was like feeling it as he was feeling it. So.
I think it's a little bit weird how it's like Eric's plan to like control the metal and all that, like get his emotions in check, was basically to like have Charles put a gun to his head.
Yeah, but he never actually did that. Yeah. I mean, he wanted to, but.
But yeah, I was going to say, to be fair to Magneto's point, they do open fire on them and shoot a ton of missiles at them. So it was.
Yeah, that did happen.
I mean, granted, he might have gone extreme, but it's not like he provoked them, they attacked first.
Right.
But I guess going back to X-Men 3, since you
I've always liked Magneto. He's been my favorite villain in.
He's one of my favorite villains in comic book movies because he has a. This is one of the reasons I absolutely hate X-Men 3. Is because they don't justify his actions; they just make him a straight up terrorist at that point.
Right.
Where in X-Men,
the other movies, like. Like, if I had mutant powers, I could almost myself following him instead of...
Right.
Yeah.
It makes like, really... In the others, his actions are, like, have, like, some amount of justification. Because, like, he knows what it's like to be prosecuted for something that, like, you just straight up can't help.
I think that's just the qualities of a really good villain. Like, he's, in general, he's, like, a tragic villain, basically. Mm-hmm. He's doing the things because he understands that what's happening now is what happened to him. And it's really nicely transitioned, or I guess juxtaposed, to Auschwitz, basically, and, like, the Nazis, which is, like, how can you get any more intense than that, basically?
Right.
Yeah, but
keep using the word juxtaposed. You've already used it twice.
I know, I used it twice, so I didn't really want to use it again, but I couldn't think of anything at the time.
But, yeah, he, yeah,
don't worry. We always cut you off. Just be
I was just going to say in X-Men 3, it's just that he becomes this... I mean, I believe at one point he just has a TV broadcast where he's like, these are my demands, and if I'm, they're not met. And I'm like, yeah, this is the Magneto I know. Like, even the stuff with, like... The stuff with Jean was so bizarre, especially when she's killing Professor X, and he's like, Jean, no! Even though he was the one who kind of provoked her into doing it.
Right. Well, it's weird. It's like... He's got one of those powerful mutants, and basically he just like has her out on the sidelines for like 45 minutes of the film.
Yeah, I mean, her entire role in that film is just stupid. She spends almost 95% of it just staring at people, and that's pretty much her power. She can stare at people and kill them.
I mean, it was funny because you mentioned earlier in the podcast how like. A lot of the mutants, and then Jean especially, get nerfed, and, like, Jean did get nerfed pretty hard, but it's still funny how she gets nerfed for all three of the X movies, and then in the third one, they, at the very end, say, like, she was, like, a level 4 mutant. She was basically as powerful as Magneto. It's like, but I never got that impression, because she never did anything.
Right.
Because they always wanted to hide her powers, and I never
got the Boba Fett effect.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though Boba Fett, I feel, just becomes a man of legend because of fans. Like, he doesn't have much of a role in the films.
But in the extended universe, he's awesome.
Yeah.
Sorry, what's the extended universe? What is this?
It's talking about Boba Fett?
Yeah.
Oh, no one cares.
That's part of the Boba Fett effect.
But yes, I mean, kind of going back to X-Men 3, and this is something that's very minor.
Why
just nitpicky.
Doing that? God,
but this is something minor and nitpicky, but I love the fact that I don't get Beast in these films. Beast is a human in X-Men 2, Beast is a mutant in X-Men 3, Beast is a human in First Class, Beast is a mutant at the end of First Class, Beast is a human at the start of Days of Future Past. So,
really?
I don't...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not even a trick.
Scared for him, to be honest.
Beast is just a confusing guy. Like, when you first see him in First Class, it's like, oh, he's going to be Beast? All he has is hand feet.
Yeah. I was like, that's your powers?
Yeah.
Like, and well, it makes him super fast.
Yeah, but, like, not even. Boring. He's not, like, the Flash fast or Quicksilver fast or anything. He's just faster than normal.
Yeah.
Wait, is Quicksilver in Days of Future Past? I can't remember.
Yes, he is, and he's got, like, the worst costume ever made.
Is he the American Horror Story guy, or is he Kick-Ass?
He's the American Horror Story guy.
Okay, I like him.
He's ugly.
Kick-Ass and Avengers.
Right. And his costume looks better.
Both of them look terrible, you can say it. One may look better, but they both look...
It's not like the Avengers one is terrible, it's just like, it's okay. I'm just not like really sure how to describe it. It looks like a runner suit, but the Kick-Ass, or the American Horror Story dudes... One just looks like some that like you throw together like an 80s costume as a joke for Halloween.
I mean,
it's like a Doc from
that's kind of what the X-Men look like, to be fair. But
yeah, but yeah. This wasn't the 80s in Future Past. It's like what, the 70s?
But that's where it started. That's what mutants actually did that was wrong.
Oh, so they had like their first superpower was like terrible fashion sense.
No, their superpowers were superpowers, but what they did wrong
like
on society
goggles.
Was fashion.
I'm just looking up his. His costume here.
Well, apparently, he looks better in motion, but...
Okay.
Does he, though? Because you can never see him when he's moving. He's so fast.
Shut up.
I just didn't say it.
I'm done with this.
Good. It'll be a better quality show now.
Jesus. I'm sorry.
Yes! I actually thought Kelsey Grammer was one of those choices that I didn't think was going to work, but he actually ends up being one of the better parts of X3. As Beast. And,
wait, killing who?
Kelsey Grammer. The guy who played in X3. He ends up being the better part. Another character who gets changed often is Kitty Pryde, who has a different person play her in the first three movies before it's Ellen
Page. Isn't it just the first two? Doesn't Ellen Page take her over?
No, she was in the first one, too. Like really.
Yeah, I know, she was in the first one as a random person, and she gets called out twice and like alluded to, but... And has no role whatsoever. Less role than, what's his name? Johnny Frost.
Iceman?
Yeah, that.
Frozone.
but she's in three movies, and they have a different actress until they decide that she's going to become a main character. And then
Ellen Page is playing her now, but wasn't Ellen Page playing her in three also?
Yeah, that's what I mean, but she's in one.
Yeah, I'm saying, there was a different girl in one and different girl in two, and then it's Ellen Page in three and this.
I'm cool with that. I like Ellen Page. She's my boy.
Racist.
That's not how that race works.
Boy is a race.
Anyway...
Yes, anyway.
You're going to say anyway.
I think Banshee is kind of in X2 as well. During, like, the invasion scene, isn't that Banshee? The girl who's screaming?
That's dumb power.
I think some of the X-Men powers are dumb. Like, the guy who can control the TV.
The guy who can what? You cut out right there.
Oh, the guy who can control the TV with his eyes.
Oh.
Oh, that's a lame power.
Yeah, when did that become useful?
If you want to prank somebody.
Oh man, he turned off the TV, he got me again. That darn rascal.
Maybe they just, like, turned the remote into a human.
Bummer.
Our plan is to bore Magneto to death. Nothing on TV! And then just shoves some metal through his head.
Here is the home shopping network.
But he can make something cool out of the TV, like a transistor radio.
But yeah,
I played that game yesterday.
The
transistor radio. Is not a
Let's
game.
Skip over
transistor.
That. Go on.
But it's not deviate anymore.
We are so distractible.
I think X-Men 3 is just full of terrible villain. I mean, terrible mutants. It's like, crap. Who can we get in this movie after we kill off Professor X and Cyclops in the most anticlimactic way? Cyclops doesn't even get killed off on screen. That was just petty business because they were upset that he was going to be in Superman Returns, which
Justin just dropped as soon as he said that.
Yeah. So you probably could have just stopped at X-Men 3 is full of terrible. Like you said, terrible decisions, but terrible is really all that movie was.
Yeah.
I guess it had the guy with the fire powers. He was, yeah, I mean, was fun to watch. He was a jerk, but I mean, his powers are cool to watch.
Did anyone else's? Yeah, Cyclops is kind of a butt character anyway. So.
Oh, I mean, even that.
He was always my favorite before I knew anything about the X-Men.
But he gets to do nothing in these films. He just stares around looking at Jean. And then he gets taken on the second movie from
home. So I was tuned during X3 too. He's the most relatable character.
Well, I'm thinking about X-Men 1. And I prefer Jean with shorter hair. The same thing with Storm. I hated that wig they had Halle Berry wear in the first two films.
I mean, so do you prefer like her little like faux hawk in this one?
Yeah, I prefer her
nobody
with
cares
in
this one because she basically gets killed off like in 5 seconds.
Oh, I thought they should. I love how they showed it in the trailers without getting stabbed.
How I've been purposely avoiding watching the trailers. Thanks, guys.
No problem.
Well, spoiler alert, in one of the trailers, she basically dies in the trailer.
Yeah.
I like how they, like, it was like, oh, Halle Berry's returning for Storm, and then, like, two trailers later, they show her, like, nearly getting impaled.
I mean, in fairness, Sam, she could live, but the trailer is basically showing her all but actually dying.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. It shows the Sentinel, like, getting ready to, like, get her from behind, and then it cuts away.
Yeah, it cuts basically, like, an inch away from her being stabbed. So, I mean, she could, you know?
Yeah. Although, to be fair, this is a small spoiler, but I think it sounds like they're going to reverse that early on in the film.
Yeah. That's what I'm kind of hoping for, is that just everything in the current timeline of Days of Future Past?
No.
They're just gonna,
No, I mean, Sam, you might want to, like, leave for this or put me on mute or something.
Or we cannot talk about spoilers right now.
It is relatively small in the grand scheme of, like, the entire film.
Hey, spoilers are spoilers, man. We'll talk about it soon.
Fine.
We'll do it after the podcast is over.
We're talking about X3 right now, the film everybody loves so much.
When Stacy dies.
Wow, okay.
Wow. I haven't seen Amazing Spider-Man 2 yet.
I was about to say... Oh, that's just a dick move, Justin. Dick move. But not dick move.
And all he does in response is laugh about it. Wow.
Are we at a spoiler territory now?
Yes.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah,
so,
luckily for you, I was spoiled, so...
So, yes, who wanted to talk about... Who wanted to talk about Angel in X3?
So sad. It's weird how they, like, set him up in, like, the first 5 minutes, and then he basically is only in for, like, 2 minutes of the film after.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's totally inconsequential.
Yeah, I don't get his role in the film at all. He saves his dad, and that's it. Like, it's not like he comes in at the last moment to save the X-Men or anything. He saves his dad, and he disappears.
Yeah, I was about to say, so I was going to jokingly call him the gayest X-Men, but is that... Is that actually what his metaphor was supposed to be?
Is what?
Is it? I thought the entire... Oh, no.
But the entire...
Giant shirtless dude with angel wings whose father is disappointed in him for being a mutant.
I'm pretty sure gay guys don't have wings.
Well, okay.
They have implied wings.
Especially as poorly that movie was written, it does not seem like that big of a stretch.
Okay. I also thought that they could...
Covered what?
Like, have you just tried the whole gay thing? Tried, like, not...
You cut out again.
Oh. So I thought they covered that whole... I thought they covered the, like, gay subtext with X-Men 2 and Bobby's house.
Yeah, the entire X-Men thing is supposed to be a subtext for homosexuality. It helps that Brian Singer himself is gay. So
I mean, also helps that, like, if you see First Class, that entire movie... It's basically just, like, one big, like, 90-minute homoerotic subtext.
Yes. Can we also talk about the fact that in First Class, the one black mutant gets killed off, like, the first scene he's in?
Well, it looks like in the comics, he can't even, like, he adapts to death. That's the weird part.
And
right, the guy's, like, adapt to this, and there's absolutely no reason he couldn't adapt to a bomb being...
Well, I mean, it was a pretty extreme way. It was basically pure energy.
Right, but he adapts to anything.
Yeah, I know, I get that, but, like, if there was any way for him to go, it was at least better than if they were to be like, let's kill him by drowning him. Well, no. I mean, it was a pretty okay way to kill him off. I just don't agree with it, yeah.
I was thinking it's kind of dumb power as far as, like, offensive. Like, you can't really attack somebody by adapting to things. You're just good at surviving, I guess. And he wasn't even really good at that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
For like 5 minutes.
Yeah. Like, Angel's power in First Class was also kind of dumb. She has wings and she can spit little fireballs. Who cares?
Yeah. I mean, she's not in this one, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, Angel.
Neither
is,
like, anybody from the First Class.
Yeah, it was, like, right. Like, basically anybody who was, like, basically any of the kids who weren't Havoc or Mystique are basically dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't they actually explain that off, though, when I hear people?
Yeah.
I hear people saying that they're actually going to explain how that happened.
I did hear that part.
How about we stop talking about the next movie again that I'm going to see tomorrow?
Yeah, it stops spoiling it for Sam and Earl. Let's talk about the four films that we have in front of us.
Six, five.
Four.
Are we going to talk about the Wolverine at all?
No.
Yes.
No.
We can do the Wolverine.
Because the Wolverine's actually not bad.
Dude, the Wolverine's pretty sweet.
I'm not avoiding the Wolverine because it's a good or a bad movie. I'm not avoiding X-Men Origins because it's a good... I'm just avoiding them because I wanted to focus more on the X-Men films just because
we have power.
But we can talk about the final scene in X-Men... In the Wolverine, since that does tie into the grand scheme of this, especially with Days of Future Past.
Yeah, I only really wanted to touch up on one thing in the Wolverine, so we can get to it when we get to it.
We can talk about it now.
Let's get to it.
Okay, so my biggest and really only problem with the Wolverine, because I kind of pretty much enjoyed the whole movie, was the fact that Viper was totally inconsequential to the entire movie. And it kind of seemed like an excuse to just have one more mutant in it, but even then, she was kind of dumb. And
one more female mutant, too. You need a certain number of females in every X-Men movie.
Right.
I guess.
It's weird how it's like...
A certain number of females in every movie. It's Hollywood.
It's weird how the plot was like caused by her, but also she had nothing to do with it.
Yep, she dies, and it's like, oh, so what?
Yeah, it's like she doesn't really have any build-up.
Yeah,
like she does the thing, like she takes Wolverine's like powers basically, and then like she's gone for most of it.
Pretty much. I mean, she really doesn't even have a motive, does she? She's just working for a company.
I don't think so. I don't think they ever explain like anyone's. I don't really think they really explain anyone's motives in that film.
I never saw why they didn't just take Wolverine's powers while he was in the their little Japanese house at the beginning of the movie.
Well, they tried.
Yeah, they weakened him so later on.
Right, and then Viper weakens him, and then they don't take his powers there.
Oh, you mean they could have done it like just then and there while the whole thing?
Yeah, right there.
I guess.
Case closed. Not even I guess. That's just like the biggest plot.
But I mean,
later on in the
movie when he's taking the little whatever thingy out, they're all at the like castle, whatever the heck, laboratory.
Sure.
Right.
So they're in different places at the time.
Well, it's weird how. I guess they were trying to kill him during the funeral, but I don't get why they just didn't kidnap him.
Well, isn't that kind of what they wanted to do? Like, if they kill him, he'll just regenerate, so you pretty much kidnap him at that point.
Well, no, but they were shooting at him.
But also, where does I never quite figured this out. Where does the Wolverine take place in the timeline of...
I think it takes place at least a year or two after X-Men 3.
Okay, then why does he have bone claws at the end of the movie again?
Because they were
taken.
They took him out. The Silver Samurai like took him out like in the Wolverine, and then at the end he's got his bone claws.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So for this next movie, will he have bone claws or?
Yes, he will have his bone claws. But in promotional pictures, he has his adamantium claws.
Okay.
I was curious about that.
So he may get them back or something.
Okay. Does he have? The timeline goes X-Men Origins Wolverine, and then X-1, and then X-2, and then X-3?
No, I think it's First Class, half of Future Past, Origins, X-Men 1, X-Men 2, X-Men 3.
Okay. So I remember just two bullets into his head, and I figured the Wolverine was going to pick up after Origins, not after X-3. No.
I mean, just to agree... touch on Wolverine Origins real quick. The bullets in the head was to make up for the fact that he doesn't remember anything at the start of X-Men, so they had to get him into this state that he's in at the start of that movie, which is why they had the magic amnesia bullets for him.
Okay.
I haven't seen it, so this is news to me, so I don't...
No.
There's no reason to see it.
Yeah,
so I know, that's why I'm not going to. So
go watch what they did to Deadpool, though.
I have seen that.
Yeah.
It's right. Rich, really bad.
Which also, I mean, it also kind of sucks.
Go on.
I was going to say we get Wolverine's origin in X2. So.
Yeah. It's kind of dumb.
Well, remember, like, after Wolverine Origins came out, they were considering, like, doing a Deadpool movie where it's, like, they continue on from Origins and, like, they try to make Deadpool right?
There's still a movie. He lived at the end of Origins, so yeah, they technically, like, could keep. And I like Ryan Reynolds. I know everybody gets some shit for things,
yeah, but
I think he's a good actor.
Because that was such a great movie.
I still think he was good in the Green Lantern. The movie was awesome. I think his performance as Green Lantern was fine. I think he would be okay as Deadpool. I like him as an actor.
He's a good Deadpool. It's just, like, the story just made no sense.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You'd have to go, I don't know what you'd do. Anyway, pretend that movie didn't exist and keep on going.
I think that's basically what they wanted to do with the Deadpool movie, but they weren't entirely sure, like, how to get there and make sure people forgot about it.
Okay. Well, I think everybody's successfully forgotten about it. I didn't even remember Deadpool. Like, I didn't know who Deadpool was until after I saw that movie. So I never, the name Deadpool didn't mean anything to me until years later.
He doesn't. Well, aside from the teleporting and the healing thing, he has none of those powers in the comics.
No.
At all. I think he even took away his healing fairly recently.
Because I think, he's a Deadpool of mutant powers or something in that film? Like, it's like where all this we're not talking about this anymore. going back to the Wolverine, like I mentioned, the big thing from that is the final scene where Professor X and Magneto encounter Wolverine in the airport.
Yes. So this is what I don't get. So apparently in Future Past, the way that they time travel is, like, they take someone's consciousness from the future and
can
put it into
their... Can
we
stop talking about Future Past?
No, this is a small thing.
Everything's a small thing.
Well, I mean, it's not really spoilers because it's just background to the movie.
Right. So the way that they do it is, like, they take someone's consciousness in the future into the past. Jesus! It's like they just put someone's consciousness from the future into their body in the past, which doesn't make sense since Charles died in 3.
Well, I mean, he's not. I don't think they're going to explain how Charles is alive. I was more curious about.
Yeah.
I guess I could be mistaken on the timeline, but at the end of the Wolverine, they hint at the danger that mutant kind is facing, which is why they pick up Wolverine. But as far as I could tell, the world didn't seem that bad at the end of the Wolverine. So is it like they ask him to this airport and then several years?
No. There's just that ad for the Sentinels. Which I guess means that, I guess, like, the year was 2013, so it's, like, 10 years before the Sentinels would have, like, done the thing.
I thought that scene at the end of, by the way, the scene at the end of Future Past, or not Future Past, God, I keep getting all the stupid names mixed up, First Class. At the end of First Class, the scene, where, not First Class, goddamn, the Wolverine. The scene in the airport.
You got it. There we go.
Really, I was in my seat giggling like a schoolgirl. I'm like, they brought it back! And it was great.
Yeah, but I don't get how that... I don't get how it relates time-wise, but that's just me.
Just don't think about it too hard.
Yeah.
It relates. They got to make this movie while they are.
This timeline's really confused.
No, I was going to say, I was going to say real quick, and even though I think we all probably will have similar lists, how do you rank the X-Men movies?
Best to worst?
Usually that's how it goes. Do you want to go worst to best?
I mean, if you want to go the worst to best, just announce that you're going worst to best.
All right. Who's first?
I guess Justin is, since he's going worst to best.
No, I'm going best to worst. I will do X-Men 2, First Class, The Wolverine, X-Men 1, Origins, then X-Men 3.
Ouch.
Dan?
Can you blame me?
Well, I'm going to say the disclaimer on mine is that I have not seen Origins. That's the only one I haven't seen. So from best to worst, I want to say First Class, The Wolverine, 2, 1, and 3.
Mine's First Class, then 2, and then the others in the order that everybody has seen. You know what order the X-Men movies are. The only two that are contentious are First Class and X-Men 2.
I think the Wolverine could be made contentious.
Yeah, I was going to say, Dan had the Wolverine as his second pick.
So that one, that did surprise me. But I feel like most people would fall under that order, and actually I think most people would put X-Men 2 in front.
Yeah, that is my order. X-Men 2, First Class,
yep.
The Wolverine, Wolverine Origins.
Then oh, you X- like it? You like it more than one?
Oh, I mean one. Wow. I can't.
Yeah, oh, Jesus Christ.
I say that one, yeah.
One is just kind of, it's not forgettable, but it's like, it's a good movie, but it's nothing special.
Yeah, it's kind of there.
Forgettable, actually. You said it's not forgettable, but it kind of is, but it's not bad.
It's really just a popcorn fluff, honestly.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing there. Wrong with that.
Yeah,
there's nothing
yeah.
wrong with it, but you can also tell it's extremely dated compared to the rest of the series.
Oh, yeah. You can tell
dude,
in terms
it is
of
like,
special effects and stunts
it is,
and
dude,
just
it is, story it is line. Painfully dated.
Yeah, it's
more
awesome.
So than the entire Spider-Man trilogy, the original
also,
Spider-Man trilogy.
Where do you think Days of Future Past is going to fall? Just a guess for where.
I'm going to say in between First Class and Wolverine for me.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay.
But that
the,
makes it
the,
higher for my
the Wolverine. The Wolverine.
So
I
the second
say.
Or third best X-Men movie?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
Going off of reactions that okay. I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on how well the time travel is handled.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of you caught my fancy Twitter rant today. I just hate time travel as a concept.
Yeah.
But it's a good plot device to just retcon things.
Yeah.
Oh,
which,
it,
that's
it,
what
it,
we're
it,
doing. And that's what they're doing, so.
Yeah,
yeah
I, honestly, I think I would be mad about Days of Future Past if they weren't doing that with this and just doing time travel for the sake of it.
Oh, no, I get that, but, I mean, it's just kind of, like, I mean, one of the things, and I guess to kind of spoil this for Sam somewhat,
take
is,
my
like,
hands off.
No, it's just, like, I don't get, like, why the Sentinels are a threat in Days of Future Past when they have never been shown in the X-Men movie. So the Sentinels are created in the 70s and then they don't do anything for 50 years.
Sam, you might hate me for this, but
I think he has his headphones off.
Yeah, I think he's off for now.
Okay, good. So apparently, the way that the Sentinels like become such a threat in like 2023 in the dark future is Mystique basically like kills Trask, and so like he's the one who made them. So I guess like someone repurposes them later on and like basically soups them up.
But
and that and that's how like in the Wolverine like it shows it yes and that's how in the Wolverine it shows like that little like ad for the Sentinels that shows them it's like they're slowly rising to prominence again after such a long like dormant stage.
So this is the last time I do a podcast with you guys about a series of movies coming out the day before I see the movie. So you know.
But I was about to say, but we're talking about movies that have already came out. We're talking about the end of the
Yeah, but y'all keep spoiling the next one because you've all read the comics and know what's going on.
I haven't read the comics.
I was about to say, I'm not spoiling it. I don't know what's going to happen.
I don't either. I'm just speculating
Yeah,
stuff.
I'm pretty sure this is actually not very heavy-handed spoilers.
Right. This is what we were saying.
Still.
I can understand your worries. We'll try. I mean, in the future, we'll probably do a podcast after the movie comes out.
Yeah, like, that seems like it makes more sense. Because I wanted to do that after Godzilla, because I had a whole bunch of thoughts to get off my chest. But
we can still do it. But the reason
yeah,
I didn't...
You guys can still do it.
The reason I didn't do it for X-Men is just because of timing that we had scheduled for next week, which our Mario Kart podcast.
I didn't want to push
the Mario Kart podcast back because then we run into E3, which is a topical subject.
Yeah,
so,
seriously, doing a Mario Kart podcast?
Yes.
Are you seriously being serious right now? Just leave.
Count me out.
Good. All right. Quality's already gone up.
I was about to say it's like one of the biggest franchises in gaming.
For you.
No, I mean in general.
In general, you cannot deny
for
that
him.
One.
Yeah.
I only played one Mario Kart. Now it's for the Game Boy.
You might have said it, but
one of the biggest franchises.
Yeah, when you sell what the last two games sold, what 35 and 28 million copies.
We should save this for the Mario Kart podcast.
Jesus Christ!
We should probably wrap up this podcast.
This is a good
we are wrapping up this podcast.
Right.
Aside from the Mario Kart hater,
I'm not hating. I'm just
yes,
That's
you are
pretty hate. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Okay, so you can find us on Twitter at Nerds on the Rocks. That's the same way you can find us on Google, Facebook, Nerds on the Rocks. You can find us on the website, nerdsontherocks.com. Okay. You can find us on Twitter. Our names are usually included in the show notes.
There you go. That's a better way to do it than have me try to say my name.
That is why I started doing that. I didn't want to try to say your name or have you say your name and then explain what your name is and how to actually spell it because apparently...
I don't understand how it's that hard, though.
It's not hard to say. It's hard. Like, when you say it, how
do you... say Sneelif is how I say it.
Yeah, Sneelif.
Yeah, that's how I say it.
Do you know how to spell it once he says it?
That's the problem.
S-N-E-L-I-V.
There you go.
It's not I-E.
Oh, I said I-V.
He said V.
Okay. But yeah, it doesn't say anything when you say it. Anyhow.
I get what you're saying.
Aside from the Mario Kart hater himself, we will be back next week to talk about the release of Mario Kart 8.
So, I don't have it due to my being a starving person in Los Angeles at that point, but I'll talk about the other ones.
Yeah, little game for food.
So for Justin, Dan, Sam, and Sean, who disappeared at some point during this part.
Oh yeah, Sean was here. Rip Sean.
Rip in pieces.
Who disappeared at some point during this podcast. This has been Nerds on the Rocks episode 172.
Wait, maybe he traveled to the future.